So I want to jump to only a few years later to 1970. There was a car with a hand-built aluminum body with a supercharged Hemi that ran in the sixes, I believe, and it was the first rear-engine dragster that Long Island saw. Does that ring a bell?
Yeah, sure does.
Tell me about that one, please, because that's the bone of contention that surrounds your name.
Yes.
In the racing community, was the first rear-engine dragster, and I know there's a big rift about that.
Because they accredited it to someone else.
Yeah.
And someone else on the West Coast, if I may say so.
No, he's in Florida. His name is Don Garlitz.
Right. Oh, he's in Florida. Down Florida. Okay.
In Ocala, yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's a, you know, a simple story, but, you know, I won't make it too long. In 1968, I had a bad fire. You know, I got burned pretty well from a blower explosion.
Yeah.
And I had always thought, you know, people run mid-engine race. You can't call it a rear engine. It's a mid-engine, actually. A rear engine would be, anyway, it was a question of safety, even though I spent another year in front motor cars.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, 2 weeks after I had that fire and was out of the hospital, and I went racing again.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, it was a race when Tommy Ivo was there, and he and I were talking, and he looked at me and said, "You're going to race?" Because my face was all scabs.
Wow.
And
yeah, fire equipment wasn't what it is today.
No,
right.
No, but it did save my life. I still have the fire suit hanging in the shop.
Yeah.
With all its charred remains. And
wow.
Yeah, you know, yeah. Billy Lynch keeps one of his old fire suits sitting in a chair in his office with the mask and everything. It looks like there's a guy sitting there.
Yeah.
And you look at it, and Dina was looking at that when we were over there a few weeks ago.
It's a little alien with those big goggles.
But it's a real piece of history to see that and say, wow, this is what you would rely on to save your life.
Yeah, and it did. It was a very hot day. If I would have had a sweatshirt under the fire suit, I wouldn't have got my chest burned, but just the suit got so hot. But anyway, it saved my life, and it started me thinking of a lot of things. And one of the things that, as well as influenced me, as well as others, when people say it can't be done, you know,
yes.
And I said, why? And at the time, what's his name? Jim Hall was running these Can-Am cars, I think, mid-engine, and he had a wing on it, and he was doing real good. So it works there. Why can't it work in a drag car? My last front motor car that I had built, all I did was perform some surgery on the thing and cut it apart and rewelded it, just swapped places with the motor.
All right, so the mock-up period wasn't that long then. It was, with an existing car.
Yeah, it was, it came out a little longer. The front motor car was, I think, 190-inch car. And this was something like 220 or something.
Okay.
It wasn't very long. No, And the motor I had put right up against the bell housing. There was no, you know, they were just a shaft coupled right to the rear end.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I figured I'd get enough weight on the back to make up for the slingshot thing there, and it did seem to work. Like I say, I made a coupler for it. Actually, I had my friend Dennis Barberia from B&L Automotive did all my machine work, and he was very good and a very smart man.
Mm.
They had run the Brewmaster, which I don't know if you've heard of it.
Yeah, sounds familiar.
Yeah, and he was 10 miles an hour faster than everybody else that time. But anyway,
that's because he was talking to Richie Zuhl and got the ignition.
All right.
Oh, okay. No, actually, it was just a magneto.
There you go, Bernie. Just to back up for people who may not know, when you cut and splice the chassis, I guess you used plug welds. You made slugs to couple the chassis.
What did I do? I took the front half, so I could keep the front part of the body on. I didn't have to make a new body for the thing. The back half I made so that it unbolted. Between the bell housing and the rear.
Okay.
Where the motor plate, mid plate is, I made it so it bolted together there for a couple of reasons.
Yeah.
One of the things, I could take it apart and work on the clutch. You know, I'd roll it, which happened out at the Nationals.
It's like a subframe.
Yeah.
Just roll it apart. I guess NHRA wouldn't like that today, though.
I don't know.
I don't think they'd like that too much today.
That would be like a weak part, wouldn't it?
Well, anything that's not welded is considered not as same structural integrity.
Right.
But
yeah. Well, in that case,
but it worked.
The motor in my airplane is bolted in.
Right. What was it like the first time you took that new car for a pass
run
down the track? And you know, first of all, you didn't see the engine in front of you.
You blow her over you.
It was magnificent. I could see where I was going.
Yeah.
For one thing, I didn't get an oil bath, which,
right,
you know, in a lot of cases that happened, even if there was nothing wrong, you'd still get oil out of the thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As it happened, the week before, I think Pat Foster crashed that rear-ending car Woody Gilmore made.
Mm-hmm.
And another reason why everybody was writing my epitaph at the time, you know, because I was racing the following week,
right,
with the thing. But I took it out for a test run, thanks to Eddie Eaton at New York National. He let me test it on during the week. And all I wanted to see is it going to go off the line and what's going to happen? And what I did was reduce the rear-end ratio from a 356 to a 331 to lighten it up so it wouldn't hit so hard.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it was the same combination I had in the front motor car. Mm-hmm. But the word was around that you couldn't tell the attitude of the car because, you were too far forward. With the slingshot, you got the whole car in front of you.
Right.
And you can see everything that's going on except straight ahead. You can see the...
Right. Yeah. Everything except the direction you're going.
Right. Yeah. That works.
Yeah, and to try out the car, I use the same combination of spark lead and fuel percentage and all that. And it came off the line dead straight. What happened was I fried a piston, because all of a sudden with the longer gear, it put more of a demand on more of a load on it. And I didn't have enough fuel. It should have been richer.
Mm-hmm.
And so it fried that piston, and oil came out, got on the tires, and I immediately knew when the car's attitude was wrong, and I lifted. So
right,
this was old wives' tales again, that you couldn't tell where
sure
you were.
Schoolyard talk.
Yeah.
Right.
And from then on, it was, it was a piece of cake, so to speak.
I believe a gentleman named Dwayne Ong took the first national title in a rear engine race.
Yes, he did. Yeah. 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 I believe I was at that race and I lost for some reason. Oh, I know what it was. I lost a blower belt or something like that. And I think the first round, so I was out of it. So.
But you were close.
Yeah.
You were
yeah
close. I mean, Dwayne bested you on that one, but you were close.
Yeah. Yeah. The fact that my car was the first one to. There was a couple of other features that I need to mention on the car. Number one, I had a wing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you had a pretty interesting wing at one point, too, I believe.
Yeah.
Right?
And then I go back to Jim Hall's Can-Am cars with the wing, and he had an adjustable wing from the throttle. So it would, when he went into turns, the wing increased the down pressure and drag, of course.
Right.
The chaparrals.
Now every Porsche on the road has one of them, the adjustable wing in the back.
Yep. And that was one of the problems, with a rear, and you see it now, without a wing, those cars are uncontrollable.
Mm.
You know, the tires get so thin at the top end because of lack of pressure and the centrifugal force, they have to have that big, monstrous wing. Mine was a lot smaller. I wasn't going as fast. But it did work. And the other thing I had on there was two mirrors. I could see if I hurt the motor, if I was on fire or anything.
You knew.
Boy, old fuel drivers just have to look at that motor, don't they?
Yeah. Not only that, but the only gauge I had in the thing was an oil pressure gauge, and I had that mounted on the blower so I could see it with the mirrors.
Oh, okay. There you go.
You got to mount it backwards.
I did, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Incredible. So how did you know where to put the wing? I mean, what was your point of reference?
Well, I put it on top of the rear, pretty much. You know, that's where we needed the weight. Nowadays, they allow you to put it back further, a limited amount. I forget what it is. But it creates more leverage on the back. And I thought what you lost with the front motor car, maybe you can make up with this. And in fact, Don Garlitz, when he saw my car and asked me questions about it, he said, he asked me about the wing. I says, well, at the top end, you want to put some pressure on the thing.
Right.
And he picked up on it. He's no dummy, that guy.
That was, he certainly is. He's a very smart man.
Yes.
And innovative. But that's where I think you made your biggest mistake in your career. That's when you should have had Richie Zuhl as your coordinator and your information guy, because he wouldn't have told Garlitz nothing.
What wing?
Yeah.
I don't see a wing.
That's where I hang my clothes.
Yeah.
That's where I keep the suit.
Yeah, you got a good point there.